It's a blessing to have Jason Harkleroad actually be our guest speaker this morning and pour into our lives. Yeah. Wow. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for Jason and for the word that is coming forth, Lord. Just give us ears to hear and eyes to see, God, what you're doing. And just move in power this morning and in and through this servant of yours in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I tend to talk in circles, so hopefully I'll be able to make the circle the whole way back around and make the whole point that I... Yes. So, last Sunday, Pastor Steve was talking about Daniel and I started thinking about how Daniel honored King Nebuchadnezzar, who was basically his captor. And so as the morning developed, I got this word in my heart, and it's a hard word. So let me just pray. Lord God, I don't want to speak anything other than what you have. So God, we just ask you would help us to bring the message that you want to bring this morning, God. And I ask you to just leave me out of it. So we just thank you that you are good. And you are the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. Okay. So speaking of honor, we're going to talk about honor this morning. It is Pastor Appreciation Week, and 1 Timothy 5:17 says that all spiritual leaders are to receive a double honor, a double honor. So make sure that we honor him today. Amen. So this is kind of a message that John Bevere kind of did before, and I am kind of ad-libbing some of it. But I kind of wondered why miracles... And people are raising people from the dead in other countries. And whenever they do a crusade over there, it's like, wow! And the power of God comes in, and the whole 3,000 people get delivered, like right now. It's incredible. Awesome. Awesome. And I believe that the reason why is because they have a sense of honor that we don't have. America doesn't have that sense of honor. Because we come from a democracy where we don't have an absolute power. We have a bunch of people, which makes things fair. Well, the kingdom of God is a kingdom where there's one king who reigns supreme. And his word's it. That's it. So if we can look up Mark 6:5. Now this is the reason for for us not having our miracles in Mark 5. It says that Jesus could do no mighty work except for heal a couple people. It says Jesus, who was God in man form, came down, and it said that he could only do a couple small things. Which meant that God, there were people there who followed him, who they were there to be healed. And this was in Jesus' hometown. And the reason why was because they looked at him as common. As you know what, hey, this is the carpenter's son. This is Joe's kid. But because they didn't see him as who he really truly was, they stepped him down. They dishonored him in his own town. The Bible says a prophet is without honor in his family and in his hometown. So, and then in John 5:23, it says, "He that honor the Son." I'm sorry. Let me look this up. This is really important. So it's John 5:23. I'm sorry, can someone read that for me? Go ahead.
John 5:23.
John 5:23.
That all should
right. That's good. So in other words, what he's saying is, you know what? God sent Jesus, so that whenever we don't honor who God sends, we don't honor the Father. So then Romans 13:01 says, all authority is appointed by God. All authority. All authority. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All are appointed by God. This is hard when you think about that. You know, when you think about some of the nasty leaders, and this can go across the board. This could go with your boss, this could go with your pastor, this could go with your father, your earthly father. You know, it says that God appointed every one of them. The good, the bad. Now, honor means to esteem, respect highly, and it's also a sign of merit and worth. So if you think of gold, you could think of something that's worth a lot of value, like gold. And it's set up high. It's expensive. That's what honor is. That means whenever we go into them places that we... Oh, you know that someone, you know a leader normally when you see a leader. Now our culture is set up everywhere. We are like so dishonoring to leadership. If you watch television, I bet you would have a hard time finding a television show where they honor a leadership. From sitcoms to media to... they just make all leadership look horrible. It dishonors everything. Even the kids' shows, the cartoons, they make the boss look like an idiot. They make the dad look like an idiot. They make the president look like the idiot. Well, but on the same aspect, the Bible says that God appointed him. God appointed him. You know what? He knew what he was going to do before, right? The Bible says that from the beginning, the dawn of time, before he was putting them stars in the sky, he knew that our president was going to be who he was. And he did it anyways. That's the thing. We can... Which I love that so much about Daniel. Daniel honored King Nebuchadnezzar. He stole him away from his home and made him eat the things that they eat. I mean, and Daniel did it and smiled, and he honored him in all that till the point where he went against that. But even whenever he did something that was wrong, okay, whenever he said, listen, I can't eat these things, he didn't say, I'm not. I'm American. No. We don't do that around here. We eat hot dogs and mac and cheese. So. But he didn't do that. He honored King Nebuchadnezzar and said, please, I can't do this. O king, please. You know what? You know, we use dishonor as an icebreaker. You know that? You can go to anybody and walk up to them and said, hey, Doug, listen, my boss, he is such an idiot. He does such stupid things. Even if it's true. Even if it's true. And I am number one, 100% guilty of dishonor in my own house, in my job place. Because we can still honor people for the position that God has them in, not for what they do. Because authority is given from God. And what the people do with that, that's their own thing. And the Bible also says that they will stand accountable for all that. We all will stand accountable. Now, them people who are in leadership, they're accountable for how they treat you. Our president is accountable for the whole United States. That's scary. That's scary. You know, this is probably one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. I tell it to my kids, it's probably really bad now that I think about it. Now that I'm telling you all this, I think it's really bad. My kids don't like what we eat sometimes. And they complain. Well, in Moses' day, they complained about having to eat manna all the time. That manna was horrible, apparently. They ate it a lot. But one day, the one guy started was an icebreaker. Guy said, "Hey, man, listen, I'm getting tired of this manna stuff." So it started. And that dishonor spread through the whole, all of Israel. One day they went to Moses and said, "Listen, I'm tired of eating manna. Tired of it, and you don't know what you're doing." So Moses went to God, and God said, "Okay, you want meat? Here's meat." And he said, "Quail came down from the heavens, and they ate until they were sick with it." And the Bible says, while it was still in their mouths, it was either fire or the ground opened up, one or the other. But 10,000 people died that day because they complained about Moses, about what they ate. So they complained. They didn't do it in an honoring way. They dishonored Moses and they dishonored God. You know, whenever we complain about our leadership, what we say is, "God, I don't like why you're doing this. You don't know what you're doing. And you know what? Somebody else could be doing it better." That's rough. We don't think about it like that. It's socially acceptable. It's okay to dishonor people. It's funny. But whenever we tell our boss they don't know what they're doing behind his back, "I'm guilty. My boss doesn't know what they're doing." What we're saying is, "God, who you put in there, you're a fool. You're a fool, God. You don't know what you're doing. God, you put this president in office. He's doing all these things wrong, and I don't like it. You don't know what you're doing, God." That's scary. I mean, so God put Saddam in power. Hitler in power. These were all appointed by King Nebuchadnezzar. They were appointed by God. You know, I noticed this long circle in the Old Testament. The people of Israel would turn their backs on God. "We don't know what you're doing, God. We want what we want, so we're going to do whatever." And then what happens? God said, "Okay, you're on your own." Well, meanwhile, they remove themselves from God's protective cover. And they led themselves right into captivity of some country. And they were like that for I don't know how long. Till eventually it hurt enough where they were like, "Oh God, God, please bail us out. We love you. You are the only true God. Help us, help us." So God would send someone in. He'd remove them. They'd go back on track. And they'd be walking, and they'd be walking, and they'd be walking, and then all of a sudden they'd turn around, and they'd do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. We do the same thing. We do the same thing. As long as everything's going good for us, we forget about God, and we fall into some stupid things. And then we cry out, "Oh God, save us, save us." So sometimes whenever them leaders are raised up, a lot of times it's to turn their hearts back to God. You know, the story of King David is probably one of my most favorite stories. And he had such an awesome, from the time where nobody saw him as anything to be king. But God knew the heart. So God appointed him. Even nobody else wanted to. In fact, Samuel came to Jesse and was like, line them up. One of these guys, God says, is going to be the king. And he's like, nope, 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 nope. This is it? This is all of your sons. He's like, yeah, well, there's David. And David, he's the youngest. And he's out taking care of the flock. So, but God saw something in David. So, David became king. Now, David was appointed king, but actually didn't go into his kingship for, what was like 15 years or something, wasn't it? And during that 15 years, he was chased by the previous king, Saul. Chased, chased, chased. And I so love that. Because he did not, as many times as he could have, he didn't act upon that. He could have killed Saul when Saul was in the cave relieving himself. And David walked up and he felt convicted about cutting the king's corner of the king's robe off. Meanwhile, everybody and their brother was like, kill him now. We are tired of running. It's time to take the throne, David. But he didn't. You know, that's God's heart. God's heart is that we don't attack people in authority. Because God has his way of working things out. I have a boss at Lane. And I think he's saved. I'm not sure. But I marvel at him. We had a boss at Carson Street. And the guys called him Xerxes. Because he thought he was... Anyways. But this boss was right below him. And it was obvious that this boss made everybody miserable. And I would fall right into that stuff. And my boss who was above me, like in the middle, he would say, you know what? He is still doing a good job. He's got a lot of pressure. And he would cover for him every time. I think he's a believer, but I don't think he frequents church very much. And I would be like, after I was done talking with him, I would get so convicted. I'm like, God, how does he do that? That's so good. He would pick those things that he excelled in. And he would, and after I was done talking with him, I'm like, gee, you know what, you're right. Maybe he has a lot going on. Yes, if this project fails, he's in charge of all of it. We don't look at it that way. Being in charge of the whole United States, that's a scary thing. Being in charge of a whole church, that's a scary thing. We look at stand afar and make accusations and stuff. You know, I remember when the Stitz did a message on something, and they were talking about whenever they were over in Nigeria, and the whole thing with Bill Clinton happened. In a Muslim nation, you know, they were embarrassed for our president. They were embarrassed for our president. Because we took the thing that our leader did, and we spread it everywhere. We did. A Muslim nation who absolutely despises us looked at us like we are so... When we blemish our leader, we're blemishing ourselves too. I'll never forget that. Because it took me... I'm like, what? Like they were embarrassed for Bill Clinton when all that stuff happened. You know, I started thinking of bad leaders in the Bible, and King Manasseh was one that really came to mind when I was thinking about this message. Now, King Manasseh was king at like 12 years old. And he took everything that his father did and he destroyed it. And he in the temple, he took basically got out of the temple and brought in all the Baals right into the temple. Right into the temple. And had orgies in the temple. And would do sacrifices to Moloch, which was a horrible, horrible thing, where they actually would kill their babies to this king, to this god, and did awful, awful, awful things. And in the end of it, he was overtaken, and it said he was led through the streets with fetters, and they put a hook in his face. And they led him through the town like that. You know, it says that he repented. And God restored his kingdom back to him. You know, we don't really know. I know all these things are going on right now. Like, who is going to be president? And our country is in a really, really weird stage right now. But God can take whoever gets put into office, God can take that. Sometimes it's not the one that you would think, the one you think would be the worst. God will appoint them, and he could change it all. He can. And we could rise up to be the country that we were founded on. And I think sometimes too, when we pray with that, the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. You know, I just like Pastor Steve said, when we pray, we need to pray, God, us, not them, us. We take on that. We need to be praying for our leaders. The Bible says we are to pray for our leaders. Not for assassinations. But that they would get revelation. They would get revelation of who God is. That they would have visitations in their room. I'm the King of Kings. That God would kill him with kindness. That he would have a revelation of his love. That's what will change this nation. You know, that when my people who are called by my name, instead of creating more of a problem and more of a dishonor, we need to start a culture of honor. And it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. In Proverbs 21, it talks about, it says, the king's heart is like a stream of water in the Lord's hand, and he turns it whatever way he wishes. That's good stuff. But we gotta jump on board with it. You know, those things happen whenever they... When the Israelites were like, okay, God, we really need to do something. And they would repent, say, God, forgive us. We're stupid. We do foolish things. So right now, let's have everybody stand. You know, I really believe that our dishonor towards our boss, towards towards pastors, towards elders, towards... That will hinder the move of God. And we can't be who God's called us to be if we tie God's hands. Jesus did whatever he saw the Father doing, but it said he couldn't. So if it said he couldn't, that means there was somebody there who was going needed healed. There might have been a dead person that needed raised from the dead. It said he couldn't do it. Because they didn't see him for who he was. They dishonored him. So let's pray. Lord God, Lord, we repent for how we have dishonored the people that you have put in authority, God. And God, we know that they've done some foolish things. Well, we all do. We all do. You know, the same blood, the same heart that beats inside King Manasseh and Hitler is the same heart that beats inside us. God, we just ask that you would just, God, you would help us to, you would transform our minds, Lord God, Lord, to have an understanding of honor, God. Me especially, God. Lord, I can become so dishonoring to my boss and so disrespect them. So God, we just ask that you would download honor to our minds, Lord God. Lord, that we would change, Lord God. Lord, that we would correct the conversations that are dishonoring. God, we thank you that we don't have to say, well, that's dishonoring, you shouldn't talk like that. But we can twist it. God, we just ask for that wisdom, Lord God. Lord, that we would know to say the things, Lord, that we can divert those things to be righteous again, Lord God. God, we don't want to have anything hinder your move in this place, Lord God. Lord, your move in this country. Lord God, I ask you, it would start here, Lord God, and as we go out with honoring individuals, Lord, individuals like our coworkers, and because your word says that we are to honor all men above ourselves. So God, we just ask that we would become a culture of honor. I just thank you that when we mess up, that we can stumble, and we get back up, and we start again. And we thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God, we ask you right now to come like you want to. God, I ask you would help us to not hold you back again.